All right. Hey, everybody. I always try to keep these under an hour. This is Andrew Hunziker, CPA, and we're going to look at cash flow, forecasting and controls, that kind of thing today. So I will just dive in. I know your time is very important. Let me hide that so I can see. If you do have questions, type them in chat and I can't see the questions while I'm doing the presentation, but I can see chat if you do that, and we can go from there. Look at some of the things we'll cover: cash flow. I think most of us know it's very important to running a business. Also controls, how we protect the assets, how to project it, tools you need to manage cash flow, and ways to improve it. So let's just dive in here. I'm a CPA, been in the cannabis space for about, I think, maybe 8 years almost at this point. Keeps going up, and speak around the U.S. and help plan and lead the AICPA as well. I think we all are aware that the market is booming. These numbers go up every time I print a new slide with whoever's predicting how many billions of dollars any big state. Here's the way I look at it. A single state, like say the size of Texas or New York or Florida, could be a $50 to $100 billion market alone. Many people say the complete California market's $100 billion right now, if you include legal and illegal. And over time, we will progress further and further into legality. It takes some time to get there, but we're definitely moving in that direction. The message we want to be giving our clients is that the IRS is coming after this industry in a big way, and not just the IRS, the states as well, the counties. They all want their share of the dollars. Most of these companies are very, I think a big majority, are not doing accounting and tax right. They're not doing compliance right. They're underpaying taxes. The IRS has done studies, and I think they found 83% of returns they looked at were the returns were wrong. And guess what? They were wrong by underpaying taxes. We just saw Michigan fine, I think, 12 companies last week for just not doing accounting or paying tax correctly, and or late underpaying or late filings as well, and handing us some pretty big fines. The IRS is getting about $4 for every $1 of non-cannabis audits. So good message to tell prospects. Hey, the IRS is coming. You want to be doing this stuff right. And that's step one, maybe, to protecting cash. So if you have to pay more cash later to the IRS because you have penalties and interest and even accuracy penalties, it's just going to hurt you. So in my opinion, the smarter decision for the owner is let's just do things correctly and correctly minimize tax instead of incorrectly try to minimize tax and pay for that later. Whether you're a cultivator, manufacturer, dispensary owner, still today, even though we do have cannabis banks and credit unions in many states, we're still going to have lots of cash on hand, very similar to the casino industry. So it doesn't mean just because you have cash on hand doesn't mean you can't do accounting. It just means we have different accounting to do. We need to have controls in place to protect the cash we have. We need to be able to reconcile that cash to our sales systems daily, whether it's POS or merchant services. We want to have systems in place for both cash deposits and cash expenses. It's very easy for over the dispensary. They've got a bunch of cash laying around. Oh, let's go to Subway. Oh, I need something at Home Depot. And especially you start handing out $100 here and there, and you start losing track of it real quickly. Business owners obviously need to know what cash is coming in, what's going out, and how to manage that, especially in an industry where taxes are so punitive. They're likely going to be short on funds overall, and they need to be able to project that. So let's look real briefly. Again, this is another topic. If you find a cannabis company, And by the way, most cannabis companies, whether it's a dispensary or farm, are 5 to 10 million on day one. They could be 10 to 20 million or even more just with a few dispensaries or farms. And if you find a client that has any of this in place, I would be absolutely shocked. I've never seen it once in 8 years. you know, maybe they've heard of corporate governance. If you mention internal controls, they'll look at you with a blank stare, or accounting policies and procedures and why these are important. Corporate governance is that system of rules, practices, and processes by which a firm is directed and controlled. And this kind of looks at what they call the stakeholders. So in any cannabis company, you're going to find a lot of stakeholders, the execs, customers, but even before customers, board members, investors, lenders, the team, the founders, also the banks. They're very invested in this industry, even if they get a bank, the government, the community. So there's lots of stakeholders in any cannabis company. Since they are multi-million from day one, it's very rare you're just going to find, you know, maybe a husband, wife, or whatever. Many companies, I would say many, actually I would change that to most, don't consider this topic, even though it's very important to investors and lenders. Not to mention just it makes smart business sense to run your company better. There are endless stories in the cannabis world about fraud, theft, investor losses, company failures, on and on and on. And it's a very important topic. This will start with a strong and independent board of directors for most of these companies. Internal controls, these are the mechanisms, rules, and procedures implemented by a company to ensure the integrity of that accounting information, promote accountability, and prevent fraud, besides complying with laws and regulations and preventing employees from stealing assets or committing fraud. It can help operational efficiency. So if you remember back in accounting classes, those different assertions around completeness, or even before that, existence. Do assets exist? You got inventory on the balance sheet. Is that inventory actually there? Same with cash. Does it exist? Is the amount accurate? Is it reported correctly? Is it complete? That applies even more so to liabilities. We want to make sure we have systems in place to protect those key assertions for our clients. Probably the biggest is segregation of duties and proper authorization of transactions. So we want to make sure that I always think in my head of anyone who has custody of big assets, whether they're controlling the pot coming in and out or the cash coming in and out, we do not want those people to ever have their hands in accounting style records or be able to access the POS system and tweak it or the QBO system or whatever it is. We want to make sure that's step one, because sometimes we'll go into dispensary and it's like, oh, you know, this lady, actually Melissa, I could think of this lady. She had her hands in everything. And there were missing, I'm not going to accuse anyone of fraud, but when I came into this one dispensary, we put into some controls, but they were just having massive amounts. You know, maybe a day off $800 from the POS system. But once you put in those controls, et cetera, and do it correctly, you can get those discrepancies down to very small amounts. For all of our clients, we want to document internal controls, corporate governance, and accounting policies and procedures in a manual, digital, and it's a living manual that can be tweaked. I'll start with our shell, like we have a pretty deep one in our program. Most companies will have very little or none of it, but I'll just start there and I'll paint it all red. And as we start implementing new procedures, we'll change it over to black, and the red will be kind of our target. If you know they don't have a procedure for whatever, comparing the shipping invoice to what's actually arrived, different controls, I'll still list it there in red. And red just means they haven't implemented it yet. And each month we will try to implement more and more of the controls. So over 6 months to a year, we've actually put a lot of controls in place. It's also going to cover all the key business cycles like revenue receivable, expense payable, inventory, fixed assets, et cetera. List things, how things are done, by whom, and helping to ensure these controls are in place. When and if the client's audited, a financial audit for a loan or for an exit or for an acquisition or whatever it is, your client's going to be super happy because this is already going to be in place, and that's what the auditors are going to ask to see. Here's just an example. This is a snippet out of like a 40-page manual. and like, okay, here's, let's look at the cash section. How are we going to record it at the beginning of the day? Usually it's going to be done by drawer, by whoever's the bud tender on that. They're going to own that drawer, both counting it in and after shift. Then the supervisor will sign off on various drawers. Those will usually go into the safe. End of the day, we'll have maybe the store manager doing a count of all of it. We're going to be then putting it in a vault that no one else can get into, usually one way, inputs only. So you can't have a robber come and say, hey, open the vault or whatever. And then we'll be depositing those, hopefully, in if we have cannabis banks. We want to, then the accountant will come in and be looking at like our daily cash reconciliation. Okay, here's all the monies that came in, the different drawers. We paid for lunch at Subway. And then we tie that back to the POS system and to the deposit once they go into the bank. So we'll do lots of controls around that. Here's again more opening and closing procedures. And some of this doesn't have anything to do with accounting, but there's still good controls, like check that the security cameras are operational. You know, security cameras are a key control that will deter both just customers or robbers or employees from stealing. Part of that fraud triangle is if people think they have the opportunity and they think nobody's watching, or they think they won't get caught. Those are a couple of the factors that make people steal. If the second people see cameras blinking at them, they get a lot more hesitant as well. Another thing is, we're talking about cash, but remember, there's lots of very valuable marijuana things that can be shoved into your pocket that can be worth a lot of dollars. So we got to be protecting all those assets as well. Here's kind of a snippet of a reconciliation of showing all, if you scrolled up higher on this, which we don't have the full, most of these spreadsheets are pretty big, both wide and deep and tall. But if you come down to the end of the day, it shows like an increase in cash of 3,600 daily cash expenses. Oh, they bought a pound of weed for $2,000. And then there was a variance of $22. And we're going to make a journal entry on that, and as well as comparing to the POS at the end of the day. So hopefully if you start doing this, you might find when you implement it, you go to do this on day one and you're like shocked at the end of the day, why is it $700 off or whatever it is. You know, these stores can sell a lot of cannabis in one day. But over time, you'll see the discrepancy shrink and to where you can really pinpoint where they're coming from. Owners love that, by the way, as well. Okay, what is cash flow? I don't see any questions here. All right, cash flow refers to the net balance of cash moving in and out of a business at a specific point in time. So we know it's constantly coming in and out. Some of it is expenses, like paying whatever, the rent bill, but then some of it can be non-P&L items, like, you know, buying a piece of furniture or buying inventory or paying down the line of credit. Those are not going to show up on the P&L, but they still affect cash flow. And cash flow, P&L is very, very important in being profitable to cannabis owners, but even more so, I would say, is cash flow. And even investors as well, they're constantly looking at EBITDA and cash flow from operations to see where the money's coming and going. And note down here at the bottom, it's different from revenue and expenses. So on the P&L, that's another good point. You might show an expense for depreciation of $25,000, but in an owner's eyes, you know, they already paid for that, say that huge tractor, $100,000 last year. They're not thinking about that. That money's gone. That doesn't affect anything. That's a sunk cost. It's not going to affect their future. They've got their tractor or whatever it is. And just because the P&L says depreciation is $10,000 in 2022, it really doesn't matter to them because, yeah, it's not any cash going out the door. It will save them possibly some tax dollars if they do 470 to 111 correctly. That's another topic we're not going to hit here. Why understanding cash flow is important? Well, first off, if we're on the accounting side, we want to make sure we know what the heck's going on in the books and records so that we can be add a ton of value in advising our clients. And starting with, if they don't understand why cash flow is important, if they're just got 50 things going and they're just selling every day and spending money and hoping they can pay the rent next month, that's not the best way to run a business. And this industry, just like any other, and maybe even more so, it's a new industry. Lots and lots of companies will go under basically because they're not projecting cash flow and they're not well enough capitalized. Cash flow, if things are done right, including 280 tax, likely is going to be negative from operations for maybe an entire 5-year life cycle. And so what does that mean? That means you have to have other sources of capital to come in and fund that, such as debt or equity. Also, you can make better plans and decisions around operations of your business. I like to have cash forecasts going out 6 months, maybe 9 months, that rolls every month. And then, and I like to keep it simple on one piece of paper. Second someone shows me an Excel model with 30 tabs, I know it's wrong. We can't predict the world that detailed. We need to be a little bit higher level. Same on multi-year plans. I like to keep it very simple. Like, what are the key strategic decisions? I again think of my client here in town. You know, we knew over 10-year period, and he's in like year 8 right now, that he was going to go from one dispensary to somewhere between 5 and 8 in the state. And then he wants to expand into multi states, but we can start looking at that. Okay. What does it cost to open up a new dispensary? Roughly, is it $1 million, $800,000? We don't have to predict it down to the penny, but we get better at predicting how much to open that next one and see, okay, we need $3 million 3 years from now. We start thinking about, okay, where's that money coming from? Okay, I want to make sure we're adequately funded. Let me keep going on this, how to project it. We want to get the building blocks in place first. So first and foremost, whether I'm doing a startup financial model or if I'm doing a rolling cash forecast, sometimes we're going to use historical numbers, but sometimes not. So starting with cash coming in the door from sales at the farmer dispensary, I'm going to be talking to the CEO. They are closer to the ground, to the marketing, to their customers, to the actual state market, like what's pricing doing right now and what's our customers saying. That's their job, front of the house. And so I don't want to come up and say, well, we sold $80,000 last month, so I'm going to predict $83,000 this month in cash sales. That could be totally wrong. There could be something I don't know about that's going on that they're going to actually sell $120,000 this month. So if I'm going out 9 months and I'm at the farm, I just want pretty much one or two numbers. What's your flower going to sell for? What's your trim? Which months is it coming in? We can give them tools to help them project that. We have a tool, for example, our flower calendar that we use for cost accounting, but that can also be helped to project cash flows by strain, by plant, on when they're actually expected to come in the door. But we want to work with what we know, but then really bounce this off at the end of the day. I want the owner to take ownership. I don't want to come in and say, oh, I think you're going to sell, you know, $100,000 a month in sales the next 6 months. And it turns out they only sell $40,000. And then the CEO is coming back to me, why'd you tell me that or whatever? The sales of the company, I want the owners to take ownership for, even though I'm going to be bouncing off like, is that reasonable? So if sales the last 6 months was $80,000 and they tell me it's going to be $200,000 the next 4 months, I'm going to push back on that too. So we want to be that kind of advisor, using knowledge and tools and history, but then at the end of the day, let them project out from that. We also want to look at what is the worst case scenario. So if I do a 6-month rolling cash forecast and it's very, very tight on inventory purchases and the P&L and what they're going to get in revenue, and it's just like barely, you know, the ending cash balance in the bank is $5,000 or whatever at the end of the month, we need to be thinking about, okay, can we get a line of credit somewhere, even from one of our owners? Do we need to be thinking about another capital raise? We need to think those through as well. Now, we will, on the outgoing cash, we're going to use some of our accounting knowledge to plug in most of those numbers. Like, for example, rent. Yeah, if rent is $10,000 every month, it's pretty safe to say we're going to pay $10,000 next month. Payroll, I'll talk to the owner about this. What does payroll look like? Are we going to be hiring any new people? Are there any new issues we need to know around that? So there's going to be discussions with your owner back and forth, but this also lets you know what's going on with the company as well. Again, I'll keep this super high level, usually on one piece of paper. I like to, if I build an expected case, then I might also say, okay, what happens if total cash inflows are, say, 15% lower? So instead of, say, 86 grand in month one, what if they're 70 grand? Let's just, what happens? Are we like, holy crap, we need some money? Or, and same on expenses. If we budget 40 grand of expenses a month, what happens if they're 60 grand a month instead, we messed up or whatever? I've used this variation of my model with going back even, to a huge company that was backed by private equity. And I got really good at predicting things just with one piece of paper that anyone could sit there and look at. What are the dollars coming in? And at the expense categories, maybe 15, we're not going to have 80 rows. It's going to be high level things like rent, payroll, insurance, utilities, inventory, some of those. And we're going to have, this is the operation section at the top. Right below that, we're going to go into investing. Are we buying inventory? Are we buying new equipment or new real estate or any of those kinds of things? We need to forecast those. And then same on financing. Are there any big debt payments due or interest payments, or are we getting new funding? So we want to have all that in there as well. And one of the most important uses, so I had one client, wasn't in cannabis back in 2011, and they were making, they actually made the GMP equipment for scientists who are making new pills and whatnot. They could take those and make it into a pill or whatever, but they were just killing it. And their net income was like 50% of sales. They were just their cash balance. I worked with them for 3 years to exit, and it just went up. When I met them, they had $500,000 of cash. And by the time they exited the company, they had $2 million. And so their cash was super easy. It was just always growing. It was very easy to project, but more often is the case, especially in this industry, we're using cash forecast to look at worst case scenario, plan for the future. We need to plan for downturns. There could be a pricing downturn. There could be just an economic recession like we're in now, and fewer people are buying things, or maybe a higher tax bill than they thought. Whatever it is, we want to be planning ahead. And we want to consider effects of major purchases. Also, what quarterly tax payments are we making every month or every quarter? And we want to really look at that closely. We've seen many dispensaries get blindsided by this. Are you actually calculating it correctly and doing 280E correctly? And then look at what sources of capital we have, loans and equity, and making sure that we're looking at the ins and the outs each month. What's the starting balance of cash? What's the change in cash? And that gives you the ending cash, and that rolls forward to the next month. So it can be fairly simple, but it usually highlights really quickly when and where you're going to need the capital. And then at least you can do planning. The worst case is to just, have your client like, holy crap, I can't pay rent. I need to call my investor. They don't like that. They don't like emergency fire putting out kind of phone calls in the middle of the night. Okay. Long-term. It is the second you start talking about long-term, it is very, very hard to predict whether you're talking about the economy, what's going on in the U.S., what's going on with the laws, what's going on with just the company itself. Nobody can do this pretty much. You can plan your growth, like, okay, if things are going well, we're going to open up dispensary 2 or 3 or whatever. That part's a little bit easier to plan. And it can also be scaled back if things don't go as well. More importantly, what I like to see in the plan is what are the sources of capital for both lean times and growth? Do you have a good group of investors or lenders behind you? Those are the companies that are going to succeed and grow. You can Google Aurora Cannabis. They're a publicly traded company in Canada. You can go buy their shares. They just reported So the market cap, what is the value of that company? It's over $2 billion. So if you were rich enough, like what's the guy, Tesla, Musk, and you're like, oh, I want to go buy Aurora, you can. It costs you around $2 billion. So that's the value of that company. Now, how'd that company do last year? Well, their last quarter, they brought in $50 million in sales, but they spent $620, I think was the number, in expenses. That's nuts. But what does that tell me? Oh, they've got to have deep investors, sources of capital, or to even just stay in business. They're spending money like it's going out of fire. I don't like that model. I would never invest in that company, but obviously a lot of people will. But this is why it's so important to look at these things. Okay, this is the part where I'm going to tell you about Dope CFO. All you who are already in the program, you can skip this unless you're just bored out of your head and want me to tell you about the program you already got. Dope CFO is a program that's a shortcut into this niche. If you're an accountant, CPA, enrolled agent, bookkeeper, I don't take total beginners. If you're someone that has a solid accounting foundation, we have a program that's basically a shortcut into the niche. Let me see what, now this is, I made this slide, I think early this year, because I realized even a fair amount of people, and just like there's enough Dope CFO people in the program now that there's people that are wildly successful and there are people that aren't successful. It's like, I start looking at, okay, what are these people doing? And it's like, say I had a weight loss program or a book or a program or training or whatever it was, and I got 500 people to sign up for it. Probably some of them are going to kill it and follow it and do it, and others are not. So I started looking. I think no matter what program you buy, whether it's mine or somebody else's, it's still not enough. You are a very, very crucial ingredient, and I don't know you right now. So are you professional? Are you responsive and reliable? That is a huge one. I call it white glove service. I can give you the best product in the world, which I think we have, but if you can't deliver it with that white glove service, if you're not super responsive to your clients, you may not be successful. This is a huge, huge need of CEOs. We are hearing this everywhere at events. They're complaining left and right. Oh, my CPA won't call me back. My bookkeeper emails me once a month. People, they want that attention. They're not getting it. Are you organized and meticulous? Very, very important if you're a bookkeeper and accountant. That said, I know tons of bookkeepers and accountants that are not that. Are you good at time management and practice management? That last bullet is kind of I said that kind of offhand. Do you get to inbox zero? Because I think very few people do. But if that's you, I do. I run a very big business. I deal with many, many customers. I have like 7 inboxes, not to mention all the different social media platforms where people are messaging me or texting me, but I can still get it to zero. I can manage it. Just putting something off to the next day in my brain doesn't manage it. But anyway, if that's you and you feel like you do have those skills, and you layer in our program, you will be wildly successful. I will just tell you that. Now, if you are weak in any of these things, I would tell you, go out there and buy a program on time management or organization or services or mindset. Wherever you're weak, go fix that. You are the asset of your business. Most businesses have to buy inventory and trucks and real estate and all that kind of stuff. You don't, but you do have to invest in yourself. And many of the accountants in the world don't get this. You need to invest time and money in yourself. You are your asset. I call it a VIP, valuable expert, instructor, participant in your niche, and you want to grow that expertise and knowledge over time and skills from day one till the day you retire. So anyway, I'll get off my high horse. I'm not going to read all these bullets, but I'm just going to basically say I've done this now for about 35 years, and I will never stop. I still do it today. My wife loves to go to the bookstore. I'm always looking in the business section. I'm reading now about leadership or how to lead a company, different things that I read about earlier, or I've taken many, many programs and courses, and I went back to night school. And I always want to get payback and ROI. That's very important to me, but I will always invest in myself and I will invest in my business because I get it that I'm the key asset. And so education, the people that call me up and say, what's your program cost? I'm like, you already don't get it. My cost is nothing, actually. What is the investment? Here's the, and I'll go over that in a minute. And can you expect to get a return on that investment? Heck yeah. Oh, and here they are. First question is I usually get, what's it cost? Better question is, what's the investment in your program? How quickly can I get payback? And what is the ROI that I should expect with one client or two client? What cannabis website should I follow? A better question would be like, Andrew, I picked the cannabis CBD niche. I am going all in. I need to know where I can find the quickest, most efficient way to get the education, tools, systems, and community. How can I participate? I'm going all in, immersing myself. And I want to know how to do that as quickly and efficiently as possible. Get lots of excuses, no money, too busy. Another common one I get a lot, even people after they're in the program, which drives me nuts. And I push back on this in the program. Oh, I've got to learn more. Andrew, I've got your program and I need to study more and read more about the cost accounting or read more of the court cases. Yes, I want you to do that, but I want you to spend no more than 1 hour a day at most on that stuff, because that will get done in 90 days or 100 days or 110 days. That's fine. But I want you participating in our calls and our group and actually going out there and talking to owners immediately. I don't want any excuses for people waiting. Also not knowing how to evaluate a program. For example, there are many CFO programs on the market. I know most of them. Some of them are my former students. I couldn't find a single one. We did this analysis recently out of like 12 major programs teaching CFO level services. I could not find one that the leader actually had a very successful proven CFO career. I have had exactly that for the last 20 years, but it's interesting who some of the teachers are in the world. Most of the stuff I teach, it, by the way, is very simple. I don't care if you want to be an accountant, a plumber, an electrician, and work on your own, an attorney. It's very simple. You got to find great clients and you got to serve them very, very well. Service means great product served with world-class delivery. Secret sauce is become a VIP in your niche. That's the way to make finding clients easier. And once you have them, you will serve them much better if you're a VIP, a valuable expert, instructor, and participant in the niche. And so if you do the VIP right, you will do so good at providing a world-class product delivered with world-class service that finding great clients will go away. And by year two or three, my contention, this will be how you know you're doing it right. These great clients will find and reach out to you and beg you to hire them. You can actually push them away and say, I'm not taking anyone, and see what they will do. I have experienced this myself and many students as well. Our program's all cloud-based. Includes education, tools, videos, systems, everything you need, and it's plug and play so you can jump around. We have people that have a client on day one already before they even hear about me, and they're ready to jump in part three serving clients, and they'll get to the education later. We've helped many, many people over the years and have lots of success stories. You can look at some of those on our website as well. This is kind of the broad level. I talked about the kind of the three components of finding clients, serving them well, and the VIP. Here's kind of how we plug it into the program, that education and knowledge. We do have a proven marketing system for where and how to find these people, what to message them, what to ask them on a discovery call, how to price it with our price quoting tool, and the offer pretty much built out for you, including the attachments. Once we get them, we have the toolbox and community that are really second to none and can help you deliver that with massive value as well. We also have live calls every month where I am on and participating in. So this is, where was this? Last year, Vegas, AICPA, where I spoke and Paula in the picture spoke. I think Molly did next to her. Paula's I Love New York. We went out to dinner together. We have a lot of fun at these events. We are a very, very diverse group. We are leading in this industry. Many Dope CFOs are speaking both at cannabis events and AICPA events as well. So we're a leader in the space. Here's another testimony, Rona Dallas going back, joining Adele's on one of her calls, which I've done many times over. Here's Nicole landing first client at 84 grand a year, taking over their outsourced CFO. Anyway, I'm not going to bore you with testimonials. You can find those as well. What's the program worth and cost? This is where I know a lot of you are waiting for this. Let's just jump in. The way I value it, again, I have over 100 work papers and tools in this program. That is the core level substance of how we're going to deliver massive value to clients, and everything else emanates from there. Those tools I built over literally 20 years, going back to many of my high level CFO jobs that I've done, including very big companies, and then all the way tailored into cannabis over the last 8 years. But those work papers are massively valuable. You can debate with me, are they worth 30 grand, 50 grand, 100 grand? I would, if you want to buy a single Excel work paper from me, I still tell people, okay, call me up, I'll sell you one, but it's going to cost you 3 grand. I've got a minimum of 10 hours in any work paper, and I just won't sell one for less than that. It'd be smarter to get the whole program and you get 100. Our marketing system is amazing. Our VIP education, all that stuff is worth a lot. It's a wide range, but it's worth a lot more than I sell it for. We also give you free membership for 30 days in our community, including our live Q&A calls and marketing calls. That has a lot more valuable as well. At the very least, we'll get you off to a good start. And so the total value of the program, I'm saying here, 75 to 125 grand. And now I can look at that. I can flip over and go sit in your seat and say, okay, Andrew, you tell me that's worth, 100 grand. Is that true? How do I actually get that back? What's my ROI, et cetera? First off, I'm not pricing it at 100 grand, but even if I was, I still believe in the value proposition. Right now in 2022, I'm pricing this at right under 20 grand for the whole program. But if you qualify, and that's important, we will talk to you on the phone before you buy. I will be making sure that you are actually a qualified accountant. I will also make sure that you are a one-person firm. And if that is the case, you'll be able to get the discount for up to 7 days from our call for basically 7 grand at that price. In my opinion, it's an absolute steal. If you can't find 7 grand in my program, yeah, I doubt what on earth you're doing. literally, if you use 2 work papers out of 100, you're already getting value back. Opportunity cost, this is yet another lens to look at it from. Andrew, I'm a smart CPA just like you. I can go build this just like you did myself. That's great. You can spend 2 or 3 years and hundreds, if not thousands of hours building this stuff up. You're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. And extra bonus. What is this? Oh, okay. This is, want to make sure what I'm doing. So if you stay in VIP community for 90 days after you join the program, you will get this digital badge. You'll get the one on the left that will be saying you're a Dope CFO VIP official member of that community, which we are respected in the industry as literally being the leader. The farms and dispensaries all over the U.S. know who we are. And you can put that on your LinkedIn, your social media, your website, and that will give your clients comfort that, oh, great, Sally or Joe, they're part of the Dope CFO network. That's who we want to hire. The VIP is free for 30 days. After that, it's $149 a month. I basically basically priced it like this from day one. I wanted this to be equivalent to basically a latte a day. And the way I look at it, you go get your latte a day already probably, but you can sit down and spend 10 minutes in our community. You will be soaking up a ton more knowledge. You'll be on our live calls. You'll be able to share knowledge with others, share work with others, pick up work. There's many, many benefits of being part of this number one national community. Also the digital badges, we have recordings. There's lots and lots of stuff in that community. Another testimony, there's my friend Ken. He is a CPA as well. Says the program material is in a league of its own. Damon, enrolled agent, been in the space for a long time, again, giving us good review. This is the slide I actually like to look at from your all's perspective. It's what is actual payback and ROI. In my brain, it's one client. Whether you paid me $100,000, $20,000, or $7,000, you go get your money back with that first client, and hopefully in one month, maybe 2 months. If you hold a single cannabis client for 1 year, you should be making a big return. And if you hold that single client for 5 years, hopefully you'll make seven figures from one client in this niche. So you can see the payback is going to be pretty good. Here are opportunity. These are our core values on the left, Dope CFO Certified Advisor. We have a franchise program now. As of now, you've got to be very qualified to get into that. We have a long application and vet. I have turned away at least 80% of the people that apply to this, but it is even a step up from the full Dope CFO program. You can get info from that. If you want more information on that, it is a very, very high level, intense program. The program we've been talking about, Dope CFO, is everything you need to go build your firm. This is kind of that program, even one notch up. There it is. The investment that pays back tenfold. Here's another high-level CPA. Wouldn't be where he is without the Dope CFO program. So let's just get to the last slide so I can let you all out of here before the hour. Here's a link that we have, bit.ly/canna-strategy with a hyphen in there. Quite a challenging link, but you can go there and apply to book a call if you're interested, and we will do a call and see if you're a fit, and we can go from there.